ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री भक्ति सिद्धांत गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौड़ भक्त वृंद की जय। राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीना चाम कुंड राधा कुंड गिर गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा मैया की जय। यमुना मैया की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। सामवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। पतित पावन हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। गौड प्रेमानंदी। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगणललिताश्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। At the very outset, I would like to welcome all of you. We have taken the trouble of coming to the temple on this very, very rainy day. So I am really grateful to all of you for enabling me to speak something which you are willing to hear. So very, very grateful to all of you. So today the topic I have chosen is simplicity. Simplicity, Bhagavad Gita calls it Arjavam. So Arjavam is simplicity. In Hindi we can call it Saralata. So these are the words which can be used. So both in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, The Supreme Lord Krishna describes Arjavam or simplicity as a divine Brahminical quality. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport states, not only should a particular order of life follow this principle, but every member, be he in the Brahmachari ashram, Grahastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram or Sannyasi ashram, one should be very simple and straightforward. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Bhaktya to ananaya shakya, ahameva vidho Arjuna, nyatum drashtum cha praveshtum cha parantapa. He says that, my dear Arjun, only by undivided devotional service, which is ananya bhakti, can I be understood as I am standing before you and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So in other words, Krishna can be understood only by the process of undivided devotional service or ananya bhakti. Srila Prabhupada comments, no one can understand Krishna or how he came from his parents Devaki and Vasudeva. When the Lord appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, he appeared as a four-armed baby boy, beautiful, four-armed, attractive baby boy. And then nobody understood how he suddenly transformed himself into a two-armed boy, Krishna, whom we see. That is Krishna. So how he came into that form, nobody can understand. We also cannot understand how the Supreme Lord, personality of Godhead Krishna, became the Sarathi of Arjuna, servant charioteer of Arjuna. Who can understand how Lord Krishna defeated the Kauravas without any arms, no Shastra, how he defeated them? Nobody can understand. So, a devotee who is endowed with simplicity, Arjavam, the quality of simplicity, he can understand. A devotee who has simplicity in his heart, whose heart is clean and pure, straightforward, he can easily relate to all the wonderful things which Krishna manifests. All his pastime, they can relate to very easily because they have an uncomplicated, simple heart. Only an uncomplicated, simple heart is really capable of doing ananya bhakti. And Krishna is accessible only to those who perform ananya bhakti. So it is very simple. So we should be simple in our, you know, thinking, in our hearts. So we see that in there is the pastime of the simple-hearted cowherd boys entering into the mouth of Aghasura demon. This happened in Vrindavan Leela. They straightaway went to the mouth of Aghasura demon, who had come there to kill all the gopas and Krishna. But they went in with what confidence? Because they were very simple-hearted. They believed that Krishna is going to protect them. Rakshishati iti vishwasa. They had that confidence that Krishna is surely going to protect them. That is simple-heartedness. So we see therefore that simple-hearted people are always, you know, rewarded with bhakti, unalloyed devotion. So of course, it's not that because you are simple-hearted, you will get unalloyed devotion. You have to work for it. You have to struggle for it. You have to go to a guru and get his blessings to enter into this phase of spiritual life. So, I would like to narrate to you today number of stories until you say stop. So, number of stories. So, what happened was that once Devarshi Narad, he was walking on the road and there he happened to meet a Brahmana. So, the Brahmana offered obeisances to Narad Muni and then he asked, "Oh, Devarshi Narad, where are you going?" He said, "I am going to meet Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha." Then the Brahmana said, "Oh, you are going there? So, will you please ask Narayan how many more births I have to take to go back to him? Just ask him that question." He asked it rather arrogantly because he was proud of his knowledge, proud of his Vedic knowledge. So he asked, you know, "Please find out." Narad Muni humbly said, "Yes, I'll definitely find out. I'm going there. I'll ask about you." After some time, as he was walking, he met a cobbler, a simple-hearted cobbler, very, very humble in his demeanor. So as soon as he saw Narad Muni, offered his dandavat, prostrated obeisances to Narad Muni. And then he also asked, "Oh Devarshi, where are you going?" Narad Muni said that, "I am going to see the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan." So at that time, the humble cobbler said that, "If you do not mind, will you please ask him how many more births I have to take to be able to be in his presence? Will you please kindly ask him?" So Narad Muni said, "Yes, of course, sure, I'll ask." And Narad Muni went his way, and he went to Vaikuntha. When he went to Vaikuntha, he met Narayan. So Bhagwan Narayan said that, "Oh, Devarshi Narad, you have come." So he welcomed him, and he asked him, "What brings you here? What news you have for me?" And he said that, "I just came to greet you, to meet you, to get your darshan. But as I was coming here, I met two people who have asked questions. Will you please answer them?" He said that, "I first met a Brahman. The Brahman has asked me that how many more births you will have to take before he can reach your abode." So Narayan, Bhagwan said, 1,000 births. Narad Muni said, 1,000 births? Yes, 1,000 births. But he is very learned. He has got so many Brahminical qualities. He is very good. Vishnu said, 1,000 births. That is the end of the story. Then Narad Muni said, "I also met a cobbler on my way. He has also asked the same question." So Narayan Bhagwan said, "He will come to me in his very next birth. This is his last birth on earth planet." Narad Muni was astounded. So with these answers, Narad Muni thought it is time for him to come back to planet earth. So he came back to planet earth. Devarshi Narad can go anywhere. So he came back to planet earth, and when he came there, he first met the Brahmana. So the Brahmana asked, "So, how many more births you know I have to take to go to Narayan?" You can see a trace of vanity in what he asked. Yes, there was. So he asked, "How many more births?" He said, "The Lord has said that you have to take 1,000 more births." 1,000 more births for me? He was shocked that he had to take 1,000 births to go back to Narayan. Then he said, "Will you please tell me what was the Lord doing, you know, when you went to meet him?" So Lord Narayan had said that, "You tell these two people that I was passing an elephant through the eye of a needle. You please tell him." So he said that when I met him, the Lord was passing an elephant through the eye of a needle. The Brahmana said, "Oh, I'm sure you did not go there at all. You didn't go. You for sure you have not gone and met him. You are just bluffing to me." So Narad Muni just compassionately smiled at the Brahmana. He said that, "Well, this is what it is. This is the reason why you are not going back home." Then he came to the cobbler. And then cobbler offered his obeisances to Narad Muni. And he asked him, "How come you are, what was the result of your going there?" He said that, "The Lord has assured me that this is your last birth on this earth. Next birth you are going back home, back to Godhead." So the cobbler, you know, had tears in his eyes. And then he said, "Oh, is that so? I am so grateful to the Lord. He is so compassionate." Then he said, "Will you please tell me what the Lord was doing, you know, when you met him?" He said that the Lord Narayan was passing an elephant through the eye of a needle. His fellow had tears in his eyes, the cobbler. He said, "My Lord can do anything. He can do anything." Simple-hearted, simplicity, arjavam. So he can do anything, practically anything. So he met him. He said, Narad Muni asked him, do you really believe that, you know, the Lord was doing this?" He said, "My Lord can do anything and everything. Nothing is impossible for him." And then he took a tiny little, you know, seed from the banyan tree which had fallen. And he said, "This tiny little seed has the entire, you know, banyan tree within its, you know, core. So if that can happen, what is so difficult for the Lord, you know, to pass an elephant through the eye of a needle?" Narad Muni smiled. He said, this is the reason why you are going back to him in your very next birth. So simplicity combined with humility and innocence is a great quality to possess, wonderful quality to possess. So this quality was exhibited by the cobbler. So sometimes all of you must have experienced, we see a baby, you know, a small little baby, not be from our own family, maybe anyone's baby, has, you know, very simple features, but innocence. And we feel attraction for that baby. We feel like holding the baby in our arms. Not related to us. Somebody else's family. But still, the baby attracts you because of the simplicity and innocence. Similarly, the Lord is attracted to those people who are innocent, who are simple-hearted. So this is what we learn from this story. So the second pastime which I would like to narrate is that of Sri Rangam. Recently many devotees have gone to Kanchipuram and come back. So anyway, this is related to Sri Rangam. And this story also you have heard, but nevertheless I would like to narrate. So in Sri Rangam temple there was an illiterate Brahmin who was, you know, sitting in the corner of the temple. He was illiterate and he was trying to read Bhagavad Gita. Very laboriously he was trying to read Bhagavad Gita. And as he was not able to pronounce correctly. And as he was trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, there were several other Brahmins there in the temple who were ridiculing him, who were laughing at him. He said, what kind of a Brahmin you are? You're not able to read Bhagavad Gita. So that way they were ridiculing him, scoffing at him. So it so happened that Udar Purushottam, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he happened to enter the same temple at that time when this Brahmana was reading in a corner. And he saw him from a distance. So this Brahmana was, you know, reading Bhagavad Gita and copious tears were falling from his eyes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to him. So as soon as he went to him, he could recognize that this is not an ordinary personality who has come. This must be the Supreme Lord himself who has come to meet me. So he went and, so he asked him, so what are you reading? He said that, you know, I am trying to read Bhagavad Gita. My Gurudev has instructed me to read Bhagavad Gita every day. But you know, I am an illiterate person. I don't know how to read it properly. I commit many offenses and many mistakes while reading. Therefore all these Brahmanas, you know, who are very learned, scholarly, they laugh at me when I read Bhagavad Gita. That is the reason why they are reading. So they are laughing at me. So the Lord Chaitanya said that, oh, is that the reason? Then he said that, it's okay, what you have said is right, but why are you crying? Why are tears falling from your eyes? He said, oh, the reason is that the Lord, you know, Lord Krishna, who is actually the owner of all the planets in this world, he is acting as a charioteer of his disciple, his devotee, Arjun. And this very thought of the Supreme Lord acting as a servant of his disciple, as soon as I see the picture on the Bhagavad Gita, my, you know, eyes, you know, start, you know, watering and tears, you know, fall from my eyes. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced this Brahmana. He said that you have understood the Sara, you are Sara Grahi, you have understood the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So don't worry about these Brahmanas who are ridiculing you. Just ignore them. You have achieved the highest. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and he gave him Krishna Prem. And that Brahmana also recognized that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He offered his obeisances. And this way, the simple-hearted Brahmana, you know, achieved the highest goal of life, Prema Pumartha Mahan, that he achieved so easily. So, I come to my next story. The next story is of relates to Tukaram Maharaj. Who has not heard of Tukaram Maharaj? Everybody has heard of Tukaram Maharaj. So Tukaram Maharaj's story is not about Tukaram Maharaj really. Tukaram Maharaj was not formally educated, but he used to compose such beautiful abhangas that contained all Vedic knowledge. And because of that, he used to attract many, 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 many people in Dehugram which to come and flock to him. So anyway, this is not about Tukaram Maharaj. So Tukaram Maharaj had a son-in-law whose name was Malji Gade. So once this son-in-law went to Tukaram Maharaj, offered him his obeisances, and after offering his obeisances, he requested Tukaram Maharaj. He said that, you know, please give me some instructions which I can incorporate in my daily sadhana. Please give me some instructions. So Tukaram Maharaj said, yes, I was very happy. So Tukaram Maharaj said that, you start reading Bhagavad Gita every day of your life. Read every day Bhagavad Gita. So Malji, he started doing it. After all, he had been told by a pure devotee what he should do. He started reading Bhagavad Gita every day of his life. And as he started reading, Lord Panduranga became very pleased with him. So one day it so happened that Malji was, doing his Gita Parayan very nicely. A person came whose name was Khedkar Joshi. Now this Khedkar Joshi came to him while he was doing Gita Parayan. And he sat there for some time and he heard what he was reading. And then he said to him, Malji, he said, Malji, you are reading Bhagavad Gita, but while reading Bhagavad Gita, you are committing many mistakes. You are committing offenses. This way, both you and the one who is hearing you will go to hell. So, Malji immediately understood that he should stop reading. After all, this Khedkar Joshi was a very learned and a very senior person. So he is objecting to my way of reading. So there must be some truth in it. So immediately, in a state of simplicity and humility, he surrendered. He said, okay, I'll stop reading Bhagavad Gita. So Khedkar Joshi went home. When he went home that night, Lord Panduranga appeared in his dream and chastised him. He said, what authority did you have to correct, my devotee? He was reading Bhagavad Gita with some mistake, but I was very pleased with his effort. So why did you have to go and, confuse him? Why do you have to go to him and bewilder him? So he got very annoyed. So Khedkar Joshi, when he saw Panduranga, chastise him, he became very nervous. He said, what do I do now? So Panduranga instructed him, go to his house immediately and tell him to resume his reading the way he was reading. So he understood, Khedkar Joshi understood that Lord likes simplicity in people. So he went to his house and told Khedkar Joshi, start reading. Told Malji, start reading Bhagavad Gita as you used to read earlier. So, but Malji said, but you know that I commit many offenses while reading. So aparad. So what do I do? Then they hit upon a compromise. So Khedkar Joshi stayed with Malji for 4 months and taught him how to do Gita Parayan. So from this we learn some lessons. It is not enough to just criticize somebody. It is also important to offer a correction, help the person to come on the right path. So this way, both of them stayed together for 4 months, and this Malji, he learnt how to do Gita Parayan in sincerity, and he did that Gita Parayan, and after that, everything was a very happy situation. So this is again a story of simplicity. So when I was a student, I had read a book called Autobiography of a Yogi. That is by Swami Yogananda. This was in fact the very first book I read when I was a student. And I was very much impressed by that. So in Autobiography of a Yogi, there is a story of 3 hermits on an island. There are 3 hermits living on an island. And those 3 hermits, would chant a very unique prayer, totally different. So they would pray to God, they would say, oh God, you are one, we are 3. That was the prayer. You are one, we are 3. And when they chanted this prayer, many, many miracles used to take place. Many miracles used to take place. So they became very famous, the three hermits on island. They became very famous. And then some envious people, they are always there. So they went to the Pope. They went to the Pope and said that, look, there are three hermits on this island. And these three hermits, you know, are, you know, chanting prayers which are not bona fide. They are not authorized. What is this prayer? You are one, we are three. What kind of a prayer is this? They are chanting that. Pope said, yes, you are right. I must correct this person. So Pope, you know, with all his paraphernalia, you know, went on a very luxurious ship, you know. And the ship with all his retinue and all his paraphernalia, they went to the island. And when they went to the island, they encountered these three hermits. So three hermits, they were very, very humble, very simple-hearted. So they immediately, you know, welcomed the Pope and gave him all respect and honor and said that, I am very grateful that you have come here to meet us. So the Pope said, it's all right, you know, but, you know, I want to tell you, what prayer do you chant? They said that, we just say that, you are one, O God, and we are three. Pope said, this is no prayer. This can't be a proper prayer. So I will teach you how to pray to God. And then the Pope went on to teach these three hermits a prayer, which is biblical prayer from the Bible they taught him. And then Pope said, my work is done, I'll leave. So he and his retinue, they went back to the ship, and the ship started sailing in the sea. It was going in a midsteep, it reached middle of the ocean. And when it reached the middle of the ocean, those on the ship turned and saw that these three hermits, they were walking on the water. They came walking on the water and they were running virtually on the water. They came and they somehow or the other climbed the ship and, you know, met the Pope. They said, Sire, you taught us a prayer, but we have already forgotten what the prayer was. So will you please teach us the prayer again? The Pope said, you are so exalted. What can I teach you? I'm sorry, I presumed that I can teach you a prayer, but I have no ability to teach you any prayer. You are already so exalted. So forgive me, you know, for my attempting to teach you something. Then they went back. So from this again we gather, it is not exactly what we pray. What we pray is very important. I'm not, you know, trying to criticize that. Prayers are extremely important and words of prayer are extremely important. Our Vaishnava songs and our Vaishnava prayers are very, very important. Every word is precious. But here what it was. So then one more last story in this context was that there was a Christian family. They had a small boy, young boy was there. And this family used to go to church every day, every Sunday, and used to hear, you know, sermons. There was a father who used to give sermons every Sunday. So they used to go there. So the boy asked the parents, where are you going and what are you doing? He said that we go to the church. And after going there, as the priest, you know, gives a sermon, we hear the sermon and we pray to the Lord. The boy said, I also would like to come with you and, you know, pray. So the boy started going with his parents. And as the priest used to give his sermons, he was in a notebook writing, you know, very seriously, you know, sincerely. Young boy. So the priest, you know, saw the boy. He was impressed. He said, my, such a young boy at this age, you know, is offering prayers. What a wonderful thing. So they saw he was offering prayers. So the father, the priest, one day, he thought, you know, let me find out what prayer he is offering. So he went to that boy, and when he went to the boy, he overlooked what he was writing. The boy was writing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Alphabet he was writing with great concentration. So The priest said that this is not a prayer. This is not the way prayers are to be offered. What you are writing is not right. So he got angry with that boy and went home. That home, the Lord appeared, God appeared in his dream and said that, what business you had, you know, to correct that boy? Maybe, you know, he was writing ABCD. But he was writing with great dedication and with great concentration, which you don't have, you know, while giving sermons. So how come, you know, you chastised him? So this way we learn from these stories that simplicity is very, very important principle in our spiritual life. And we have to somehow or the other try to bring in this principle of arjavam or saralata in our life. This is a great Vaishnava quality. So question arises, what is simplicity? I first narrated the stories, but what is simplicity? So, being in one's natural state, humble and not artificial. Simplicity means not being artificial. In the material world that we are living, things are becoming so artificial. People say one thing and they mean something else. Mume ram bagal mein churi. So that kind of a situation. So people are, you know, all the time, you know, pretending to be something that they are not. And they say things which they don't mean. This is the material world in which we are living. So, simple living and high thinking. This is a principle which Mahatma Gandhi, you know, spoke about. And Srila Prabhupada also makes reference to this in many of his writing. Simple living and high thinking. What does simple living mean? And high thinking mean? High thinking doesn't mean you go to a 108 story tower and start, you know, thinking. No. What it means, you know, high thinking means, you know, you think of, you know, sublime things, spiritual things. It's not think of mundane things. Think of spiritual things. And that is high thinking. So Srila Prabhupada comments, simplicity means not being kapti, nishkapata vritti, propensity to, you know, cheat, propensity to be hypocritical. You have to give up that. Nishkapata vritti. Being straightforward, free from cheating propensity. So, being natural and not complicated, no decoration, no unnecessary extra things. Simple and pure-hearted individual will give expression to what is in his mind. He'll speak his mind. Whatever comes to his mind, he'll speak for benefit of others. So, there is a pastime of Srila Prabhupada that once, you know, one person, an author, he came to him. Prabhupada was addressing a conference. So he went to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I have written this book. I hope you have read it. He said that I have written this book. You please, when you give your talk, you please appreciate my book. Somehow or the other, please say some nice words for my book. This way my sales of my book, you know, will increase. Prabhupada, whether he heard or not, he did not know. He did not show. His expression was very grave. Prabhupada became very grave. He heard it. He heard him, but didn't say anything. So after some time, Prabhupada, you know, spoke on Krishna consciousness. He gave a beautiful class on Krishna consciousness. He said that, you know, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He said, live a simple life, chant Hare Krishna. This is spiritual life, you do this. He gave a beautiful class. So this author, you know, he went to the, you know, dais and he was whispering in Prabhupada's ear, Prabhupada, say something about this book. You know, you have not said anything about the book. Then Prabhupada, you know, he said it a couple of times. Then Prabhupada, you know, eventually said that this book is bogus. Don't read it. So you are shocked, of course, obviously. But we can't imitate Prabhupada. Don't try to imitate Prabhupada. We can't. But Prabhupada said that, he said that because he genuinely felt that the contents of the book were not helpful to people who read it. He felt it genuinely and therefore he made that statement. We can't imitate Prabhupada and criticize in the same way. We don't have that ability. We don't have that stature to criticize. Therefore we should not do it. This way, so the question arises is that these pure-hearted devotees, they speak their mind, they speak what is in their mind. There is nothing artificial about what they say or what they do. Straightforward, that is their approach. So, how can a devotee bring in simplicity in his conduct or character? How does a devotee bring it in? This is important. So, the Shastra says, we have to, you know, we are what we eat. So, we have to, you know, eat, we have to have ahara, which is, you know, shuddha. So, ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi, sattva shuddhau dhruva smritihi, smriti labdhe sarva ganti naam vipramokshaha. So, by performing of yajna, one's eatables become sanctified. Every day, all of us, you know, offer whatever is cooked at home. I hope all of you are doing it. If you are not doing it, please do so. So, whatever is, you know, cooked in the house, simple vegetarian diet without onion and garlic. So you, whatever is cooked, you offer it to the Supreme Lord. That becomes a yajna. So with certain prayers, you can offer it to, and that food becomes sanctified, it becomes prasad. So you offer that, and when it says that when you eat this prasad, our existence becomes purified. By purification of existence, finer tissues in the memory become sanctified by eating prasad. That is why we should always eat prasad, not eat any junk. So, when memory is sanctified, one can think of the path of liberation, and all these combined together lead to Krishna consciousness, which is a great necessity for the present day society. So, when we eat sanctified food, when the ahara is shuddha, when prasad is shuddha, then, you know, our existence becomes purified, and then we develop the tendency to think of, you know, sublime things, Krishna conscious things. So you do that. So what must be the nature of the food that we should eat? Bhagavad Gita specifies it. He says, Ayuhu sattva bala arogya sukha priti vivardhanaha raksha rasya snigdha sthira. Rusya ahara sattvika priya, says that rudya sattvika priya, foods dear to the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart. So for simple living, simplicity in our food habits is of paramount importance. So we have to regulate our food in such a way that we have Krishna prasad, to live a very simple life of Krishna consciousness. So science says we are what we live. So we have to avoid rajasic and tamasic food. So Bhagavad Gita describes what are rajasic foods and what are tamasic foods. I won't go into that, but we can read Bhagavad Gita. So in Bhagavad Gita, in the 17th chapter, talks about sattvic, rajasic and tamasic food. Everybody should read these verses to understand what is sattvic food. We don't know what is sattvic and what is rajasic and what is tamasic. We just go and eat anything that comes and we can lay our hands on. But we should eat only Krishna prasad. We should honor only Krishna prasad. So, Prabhupada writes, for simple living, simplicity in our food is of paramount importance. So, we have to avoid rajasic and tamasic food and accept only sattvic food which has been offered to Krishna. Like the prasad, we are going to honor after lunch, no? After our class, you are going to get to eat honor prasad, not anything else. So that is what we have to have every day of our life. So, Srila Prabhupada makes a statement in Bhagavad Gita. He says that no research is necessary to decide what is sattvic ahar. You don't have to go to any laboratory and decide what is sattvic ahar, or go, you know, to all kinds of, you know, computer things to find out, you know, what is sattvic ahar. So what you have to do is that our rishis, you know, and our munis in Bhagavad Gita have already told us what is sattvic ahar. Milk products, sugar, wheat, rice, fruits, vegetables are naturally pure, and one can prepare innumerable tasty varieties of foodstuffs from these ingredients. So alag alag prakar ke vyanjan hum bana sakte hain, just you know, from sattvic ingredients. So by offering sattvic bhoga to the Supreme Lord, we can honor the remnants, the prasad. This is the simple process of Krishna consciousness. Very, very important. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Guru Vandana, every day he says, Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavat Prasado Swadanna Truptan Hari Bhakta Sanghan Krutvaiva Truptim Bhajata Sadaiva Vande Shri Guru Charanaravindam. So, Chaturvidha, he says that the spiritual master is always offering Krishna four kinds of delicious food, which are analyzed as food that which is licked. Some food items are licked, isn't it? When these things are offered, we just lick it. We are not able to eat it. Like sometimes, you know, pickle ka jo hota hai, oh, we lick it. Or some syrup, we lick it. Then those which are to be chewed, those which are to be drunk, and those which are to be sucked. These are the four types of food. So when the spiritual master sees that the devotees are satisfied by eating Bhagavat Prasad, he is satisfied. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So live simply, chant Hare Krishna, honor Krishna Prasad, make your spiritual master happy. The first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes that Narad Muni was the son of a maid servant who served the Bhakti Vedantins during the Chaturmas. It's a beautiful account in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, during the rainy season, 4 months of rainy season, earlier days and even now, people observe what is known as Chaturmas. In these 4 months, people abstain from eating certain types of products. For example, in this month, this is the first month of Chaturmas going on currently, and we are advised not to eat, you know, leafy vegetables. There is both Shastric reason, the medicinal reason is that there are so many, you know, tiny, many insects in this season, which, you know, are particularly, they inhabit green leafy vegetables. So they are to be avoided. So in this month of Chaturmas, we avoid leafy vegetables. During this Chaturmas, Narad Muni was the son of a maid servant at that time. We are talking about his earlier birth, not the current one. Now he is Devarshi Narad. So at that time, he was the son of a maid servant. And this maid servant was serving the Bhakti Vedantins. They were advanced, you know, devotees who would stay at one place during the 4 months of rainy season. And there, you know, they would, you know, do discourses. There they would read Bhakti Shastra and then, you know, honor Prasad. They would not stir out anywhere. So this maid servant was serving these Bhakti Vedantins. And Narad Muni, a young boy of 5-6 years, he was assisting his mother. So by assisting his mother in serving the Bhakti Vedantins, you know, he got the benefits. Like, you know, he got to, you know, hear spiritual subject matters. He got to, you know, honor the Uchishta, you know, that which was left behind as remnants by these Bhakti Vedantins, pure attitude. He was able to honor that. And that way, his consciousness got completely purified. And over a period of time, of course, he met with the Supreme Lord. And thereafter, you know, in his next birth, he became Devarshi Narad. It's a long story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we don't want to go into. So, how to bring in simplicity in our life? We have talked about simplicity, but how to bring it in? In this context, I would like to discuss Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, which were given to Raghunath Goswami. So, before he became a renunciant, Raghunath Goswami is one of the greatest renunciants that we know in our sampradaya. So, he is our Prayojana Acharya. Sanatan Goswami is Sambandha Acharya. Rupa Goswami is Abhideya Acharya. And Raghunath Das Goswami is Prayojana Acharya. So, they are very important personalities in our sampradaya. So, Raghunath was the son of a multi billionaire. His name, father's name was Govardhan Majumdar. A very aristocratic family in Navadvip. And Though his father was fabulously rich, he had no material desires, Raghunath. His only aspiration was to be in association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Somehow or the other, he got association of devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and his burning desire in his heart was that, when will I get association of, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That was the only desire he had in his heart. So, what happened was that he eventually, he was trying to run away from his house. His father was preventing him from running away. He would send, you know, his people, you know, to arrest him and bring him back. So he tried many times, but eventually the father gave up. They said that this boy, you know, so bent on, you know, becoming a renunciant that now let us not try to hold him back. So he went. So at that time, Raghunath, he was instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very beautiful instructions, which are relevant for us even to this day. Brahmya katha na shunibe, gramya varta na kahibe, bhala na khaibe, or bhala na paribe. This is in the Antya Leela. Gramya katha na shunibe. It says, do not talk like people in general or hear what they say. In other words, do not gossip. So we call it prajalpa, you know. Devotees need not, should never ever gossip. Gossip is something, you know, some people find it very juicy. Huh? Do you know what happened, you know, that daughter of such and such a person, you know, she has escaped, you know, she has gone out. This kind of a statement we make. Everybody is fond of juicy gossip. So he says here, gramya katha na shunibe. Neither should you speak gramya katha, nor should you be hearing gramya katha. Both. Avoid both. Gramya varta na kahibe. Don't talk about it. Bhala na kahibe. Don't go after sumptuous, you know, most delicious foods. Don't go after that. Try to live with simplicity. Try to eat, you know, simple Krishna prasad. Or bhala na paribe. Don't, you know, try to wear, you know, fancy clothes. This is the instruction which Raghunath Das Swami is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das Goswami was already a renunciant in his consciousness, but still Lord Chaitanya gave him these instructions. So, we have to be Krishna conscious. We have not to be dress conscious. Most of the time we are dress conscious and not Krishna conscious. So we have to be Krishna conscious, not dress conscious. So, one's greatness is not dependent on what we wear or, you know, what kind of jewelry we wear. But this is a human failing that we always look at persons, you know, who are well dressed with respect. This is not to say that you should, you know, wear, you know, torn clothes. It's not that. But don't go after ostentation, you know, fancy dresses where you spend, you know, meaning. After all, you require to cover your body in a nice, presentable way. Not that you should wear ugly, should look ugly, should look decent. But still, don't waste your energy on that. So, we have an example of in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Kolavicha Sridhar. Now, this Kolavicha Sridhar was the great important character in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Kolavicha Sridhar was a simple banana seller. He used to sell, you know, bananas. He used to sell, you know, banana leaf plates, banana cups. He used to sell every day. And he would sell at a very reasonable rate, and whatever money he would earn from the sale, 50% of that he used to offer it to Mother Ganga. So that was his daily routine. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time Nimai Pandit, Nimai Pandit would go to this Kolavicha Sridhar's shop every day and, as they say, eat his head, you know. So, he would go every day to Kolavicha Sridhar and say that, you know, for how much are you selling this? So, Kolavicha Sridhar would say, I am this 20 paise. 20 paise? Too much! Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, you know, this is too much. 10 paise? 10 paise? Too much! Eventually, you know, he would get his free from Kolavicha Sridhar. So, he would enter into arguments with Kolavicha Sridhar. This was his pastime. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not available to anyone, would daily spend, you know, 2 to 3 hours with Kolavecha Sridhar. Such a pure-hearted devotee. Would spend time with him just every day. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pleasure. He would spend time with him, Kolavecha Sridhar. And what were his clothes like, you know? It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that his dress, you know, was torn in so many places that he had no sewing needle, you know. So what he would do, he would, wherever it is torn, he would tie it in knots. And it is described, His Holiness Radhanath Swami describes it so beautifully. I am not capable of his way of speaking. But there are more knots in his dress than, you know, cloth. Less of cloth, more knots. So many places it was torn. And the house he was living in, it was a thatched house, like end of a hut. And there were so many holes in the ceiling that rainwater would directly enter the room. This was his house. Very simple-hearted person. But though he was so simple in his habits, simplicity was his obsession actually. So though he was so simple, he was a great, great, great devotee of the Lord. He would chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his, you know, Ashtaprahari Leela, that was the actual Leela in which he revealed himself as the Supreme Lord. That Leela is again described beautifully. So during that Leela, he called all his dear devotees. And he called many people, but one of the people whom he called was Kolavecha Sridhar. Now, his associates did not know who Kolavecha Sridhar was. He was such a humble personality, he never came into, you know, forefront. So they asked him, who is Kolavecha Sridhar? Go get him, bring him. So that from where to bring him? You go outside the, you know, the city limits, you go there. And there, you know, you... searching for Kolavecha Sridhar and, you know, brought him in his presence, you know. They dragged him in his presence. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, Kolavecha, no, I have been harassing you again and again all these days, but now, you know, I want to give you something. He had never paid the full price for what he bought. So he said, now I want to give you something. So he said that, you please ask for whatever you want. I can give you anything that you want. Anything that you want. You can ask for, you know, any high planet you can ask for. You can ask for a kingdom. Whatever your desire, I'll give you. Kolavecha Sridhar said that, oh Lord, I do not want anything from you. I'm condensing whatever the Leela is. It's a big description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said that, all that I want is that birth after birth, I want you to come to me every day and fight over the banana leaf prices. So this was his simplicity. Great character, wonderful devotee. So that is simplicity. So from the example of Kolavecha Sridhar, we should not conclude that it is fashionable, you know, to wear torn or unclean clothes. We are talking about the quality of the heart. Simplicity is quality of the heart. Humility is a quality of the heart. Genuineness is a quality of the heart. We cannot go to a marketplace and buy it. Give me 2 grams of, you know, simplicity, 5 grams of, you know, humility. No. It is something which has to come from within our consciousness. So that's a quality which is essential for Krishna bhakti. That is a quality which is essential for advancing in Krishna consciousness. But we cannot purchase it. But we can get it in association of devotees. In sadhu sangha, in association of devotees, we can imbibe these qualities krame krame, slowly and steadily. And one fine day we can be endowed with these qualities. So that's very, very important. So Vedic culture means simple living and, you know, high thinking. So when Srila Prabhupada decided to to go to the United States after a long struggle. We won't go into that details. How troublesome it was for him to respect his guru Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's words that you go to America and there, you know, preach the gospel of Krishna consciousness in English language. That was the instruction which he had received in 1922. And years and years and years later, Srila Prabhupada ultimately got a ticket on a cargo ship, Jaladuta, thanks to Sumati Murarji. And she gave him a free ticket on that board. And he got that ticket. And it was finally decided that he would go to New York on such and such a day, 1965, I believe. So it was decided. So when it was decided, Prabhupada got, you know, free advice. He got free advice from so many people. Once they came to know that he is going to America, there was no shortage of advice. Every third person would come and advise him. So one person told him, Prabhupada, when you go to New York, you know, don't wear dhoti kurta. Don't be simply dressed. Don't wear dhoti kurta. You go there in, you know, your suit and tie and trousers. You go there. Then one more person advised him. He said, Prabhupada, when you go there and when you eat, do not eat with your fingers. Use a fork and spoon. Looks very sophisticated. Eat with a fork and a spoon. Don't eat, you know, with your palms. That is not done. They will think that you are a barbaric person. So this way, you know, there was free advice forthcoming. One after other, people were advising him. So Prabhupada believed in, you know, simple living. So Prabhupada didn't bother about this advice. So wherever he went in New York, he was dressed in dhoti kurta only and simple, you know, shoes. He was looking aristocratic in whatever he dressed. It was not that, you know, he was looking like a beggar. No, he was looking very, very aristocratic, very, very dignified. He would impress by his mere presence, you know, he could impress people. So he went there. And after he went to America in the self same dress, you know, he, you know, made hippies into happies. He gave them Krishna consciousness. He, you know, prepared food for them. He washed their utensils. He gave them, you know, Krishna consciousness. He established ISKCON. He didn't have to, you know, wear, you know, complicated and sophisticated dress, you know. It was simple, simple way. To the bitter end, you know, he was always simply dressed. That is Srila Prabhupada. That's what we have to learn. That's what we have to imbibe from Srila Prabhupada. Simplicity in our habits. So that's how Srila Prabhupada conducted himself. So his thoughts, his words, his actions were all, you know, sort of drenched in simplicity and humility. You can imagine a 70 plus man cooking, you know, for his disciples. Have you heard of this? Cooking for his disciples. And after cooking, you know, serve them, would prepare delicious food, offer them prasad. And this way he transformed hippies who did not know what is Krishna consciousness, who did not know who is a Vaishnava, who had absolutely no inkling of Vedic culture. He taught them, you know, beautiful, sublime process of Krishna consciousness. And the same hippies later on became Vaishnavas, who helped him to build 108 temples in America, who helped him to establish ISKCON. So from this we can come to know that simplicity is not a hindrance. Only thing is that simplicity should not be a put-on. It should not be a show. Simplicity should be innate. It should be inborn in us. It should be there. That is what simplicity means. So, in Nectar of Devotion, which Srila Prabhupada wrote, which is based on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, written by Srila Rupa Goswami, our Acharya. So he, in that, he gives a series of instructions which are relevant to today's discussion. He says that one should offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord and Vaishnavas. Whenever you meet the Supreme Lord and you come to before Radha Gopinath, offer your obeisances, and any Vaishnava that you meet. Even a king should not come in front of Archa Vigraha in a palanquin, you know. There are earlier days people would come, you know, in palanquin. The king would be brought in a palanquin. So he should not come. Rupa Goswami is very strict. Prabhupada says that. He should not come in front of Lord. One should not wear opulence or expensive dress in presence of the Lord. Same instruction. One should not, ladies please forgive me, one should not use lipstick or other beauty aids in presence of the deity. Now this is what is given in the Nectar of Devotion. This is not my writing. So, and praising oneself, they say in Hindi, ding marna, is not simplicity. We are here to glorify the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, not to praise ourselves. So that is not simplicity. One should not imitate simplicity. One should not be a put-on. It should be inborn. Simplicity and being content with little go hand in hand. Kulavecha Sridhar was happy. In whatever little earning he would get, 50% of it, you know, he would give it to Gangamai, and remaining, you know, he would carry on his life. So he was content with what he had. We have to reduce our requirements. So simple living means constantly, you know, trying to analyze what we have and reduce our requirements, not keep on increasing our requirements. So the tendency in this modern world is to increase our requirement. Persons who have, you know, one car, they want two cars. Those who have two, they want five. Different. So we are, you know, oriented towards, you know, buying more and more, more and more, storing more and more. So mobile, you know, they have so many mobiles at home that, you know, they can open a shop. So that kind of a, you know, that is not required. So simplicity entails reducing our requirement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to narrate a story. So I think my lecture is mostly story oriented. So he used to narrate a story. So he used to give an example. Say one day, you know, a sadhu, he wanted to go on a long yatra, lambi yatra. He used to go on a yatra. So he had a disciple. So he told his disciple, see, I am going on a long yatra, and during my absence, you know, I want you to do your sadhana very sincerely. The disciple said, yes, Guru Maharaj, I will do it. So he would sit every day, you know, to chant, sit. And then when he was sitting to chant, he would see that on the, you know, clothesline, his kaupin would be hanging, and a rat would come and, you know, nibble at the kaupin. So one day, 2 days he ignored, but it was happening every day. Then he thought, what is the solution? Buy a cat. So he bought a cat. So the cat, you know, solved the problem of the rat. But there was another problem. The cat had to be fed. What do you feed the cat with? Milk. So from where to get milk? Get a cow. So they got a cow. The cow, you know, milking, the milk was given, you know, to the cat. The cat was, you know, taking care of the rat. Things were fitting into place. But after some time, the question arose, you know, who is to take care of the cow? So somebody suggested, I think you should marry. Marry. You know, your wife-in-law will take care of the cow. Then, you know, your sadhana will be very nice. So this is how, see, we are not different. We are actually laughing at this story, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a purpose in narrating this story. This tendency, you know, to accumulate more and more and more, this is what is harming our spiritual life. So it's very, very important. So this is a story which has a message. So our condition is not any different from this. So I would like to come to the simplicity of Tukaram Maharaj finally. This is one of the examples I wanted to cite. So, Tukaram Maharaj is considered as Sant Shiromani in Maharashtra, respected everywhere. I will not go into the full length of the story, but he lived in Dehu village. And there, you know, he worshipped Lord Panduranga, Vitthala. He is a Vitthala Bhakta. He would every day perform kirtan in a local temple, and by his sincerity and by his devotion, he was able to, his simplicity basically, simply dressed, simplicity, he would attract so many devotees. Devotees would just come and throng the temple. So obviously, when a person becomes popular, there is always somebody who is envious. So there were some envious people. They were envious of Tukaram's popularity. They were envious of Tukaram's ability to compose abhangas and songs which contained the highest Vedic philosophy. In simple words, he would compose, you know, abhangas which gave the essence of Vedic philosophy. So when people heard it, they would say, oh my, this Tukaram is a Vani. He's not a Brahmana. He's from a Shudra caste. And he's composing abhangas which gave Vedic knowledge. This is too much. This cannot be tolerated. So they thought, you know, that something should be done about it. So complained to the authority. Who are the authorities in those days? They were called Dharmadikaris. So the seat of the Dharmadikari was a place called Paithan. So they said that we'll go to Paithan. And after going there, we'll complain about Tukaram Maharaj. So the head authority in Paithan, his name was Rameshwar Bhatt. He was a very erudite person, erudite Brahmana, who had a lot of knowledge and who of course had contempt for the lower caste. So they went to him. Some of the people from Dehu went to him and said, look at this Tukaram, you know. He's a Vani. He's composing abhangas. And in those abhangas, you know, he is giving the Vedic truths. This is not done. It should not be tolerated. So you must stop him. They complained to Rameshwar Bhatt. Rameshwar Bhatt agreed with them. He said, what you are saying is right. He is a Vani after all, low caste. He cannot, you know, compose. He cannot talk about Vedic truths. So it was decided that the Dharmadikari then gave a verdict that he should be evicted from Dehu. Throw him out of Dehu. Then, you know, he will not infect the people. You know, infect the people with bhakti. So, Tukaram Maharaj, you know, used to sing abhangas so beautifully, full of melodiously, that people would just flock. Like, you know, ants, you know, if you put sugar in a corner of a room, you know, the sugar doesn't send an SMS to the ants. Ants just come and flock. And they eat the sugar. So similarly here, you know, people used to come from all corners to get association of Tukaram. So his popularity, that is what irritated the local Brahmanas. So they said that now this should be stopped. So they said, throw him out of Dehu. Then Tukaram Maharaj decided that I will go and meet this personality, Rameshwar Bhatt. After all, he is a Brahmana. I am a lowly person. He was not lowly, he was a spiritually advanced person. So he said, I'll go and meet this Rameshwar Bhatt. So he went to meet Rameshwar Bhatt. He went to Paithan. He went there and he had an audience with Rameshwar Bhatt. So Rameshwar Bhatt met him. After meeting him, he said that, so Tukaram... So when he met Rameshwar Bhatt, Tukaram on there and there, on the spot, you know, composed some abhangas in honor of Vitthal Dev. He composed some abhangas and he offered him his obeisances. And so he said that you, it seems that, you know, you are composing, you know, abhangas which have Vedic knowledge. And by the way, whose words are these that you have in your abhanga? He said that they are not my words. These are words which Vitthala gives to me. Lord Vitthala inspires me to say this and I am saying it. No credit to me. Said, you must stop this. You cannot talk about Vedic truths in your abhangas. This must be instantly stopped. Tukaram Maharaj, very simple-hearted person, he said, yes, you are a Brahmana. I believe that Lord speaks through the mouth of a Brahmana. This is a Vedic statement. So Lord, you know, speaks through the mouth of a Brahmana and through your mouth, this statement has come that I should stop, you know, composing abhangas. Okay, I agree with you. I'll stop composing abhangas. And then very humbly, Tukaram Maharaj asked that Rameshwar Bhat, "It's okay, I agree with your instruction that I should not compose any more abhangas. But what do I do with the abhangas which I have already composed? There's a whole bunch collection of abhangas in my house. What do I do with that?" He said that forthwith you must throw them in river. Reject them. Imagine how heartless this so-called Vedic scholar, you know, Rameshwar Bhat Brahmana was. He never thought twice about, you know, what, you know, heart, you know, wrenching, you know, advice he had given. So that you throw whatever you have composed in river waters. So Tukaram Maharaj, the humble devotee that he was, simple, straightforward, he said, "Okay, if this is your wish, I will do that." Then he walked back, very sad that whatever, those words were not his words, they were Vitthala's words. He said, "Whatever words, those compositions, all to be rejected. So stop composing and whatever you have, you throw it into the water." This was the instruction. So he went home. His wife's name was Avali. So he talked to her. She said that, "You have wasted your precious life, you know, writing these abhangas, and now you want to follow the order of that so-called, you know, Brahmana and throw them in the river water. I don't agree with you." He fought with him. But Tukaram said, "These are the orders of a superior person. Brahmanas are superior to us. We are Nicha Jati. So whatever instructions we have received, we have to implement. So we'll implement those instructions. So please, you know, don't come in my way." So he tied all the abhangas, you know, and put a stone on it, tied them and threw it in the river. Indrabhaga. Indrayani. So he threw in the Indrayani river and obviously the Vedas, they sunk below. So he did that. And what happened to Rameshwar Bhat? That's the question one can ask. So Rameshwar Bhat had a couple of disciples. So he decided after giving these instructions to Tukaram, he forgot all about it. So we with these 2-3 disciples went to a Shivji temple nearby where he lived. He went there and he went to Shivji. And before going to the Shivji temple, he thought he and his disciples should have a bath. So there was a tank of water. So they, you know, went into the tank to have bath. So when he came out of the tank, his body started burning. It was on fire. Body was on fire. So Rameshwar Bhat had to suffer intolerable agonies due to heat, unbearable heat. You can imagine, you know, like somebody being put in a furnace, you know, like that. That kind of a situation. He was so in agony, deep agony. His disciples did not know what to do, what to help. So they brought him out of the water. He is in water and he is burning. You can imagine that. So they put a cloth on the bank and they made him lie down on it and they started pouring water, buckets of water on him. But the heat, you know, would not abate. His body continued to burn. He was suffering and suffering and suffering. So he told his disciples, "Please, I think I'm going to die. So please take me home." So the disciples took him home. He was miserable. And then people started saying, "Because, you know, you harassed a simple-hearted devotee like Tukaram, who was a pure devotee of the Lord. Because, you know, you troubled him, you are suffering like this." That is what some devotees told him. He understood that what he had done was wrong. But what could he do? He was already suffering. So he was suffering and suffering, suffering. And here Tukaram and his family sat for 13 days on the banks of Indrabhaga, Indrayani river, and they were all the time, you know, chanting the holy names of the Lord, doing Vitthala Bhakti, and they had become very feeble, on the threshold of death, literally, and they went on like that. And somebody came and told him that, Tukaram, that, you know, your tormentor, you know, Rameshwar Bhat, he's suffering. Tukaram felt compassion for him, said that, "Oh, he's suffering." And here, in a dream, Rameshwar Bhat, a sadhu came to him in his, you know, dream. And then he said that, Do you know why you are suffering? Because you know you have tortured, you have hurt a pure devotee of the Lord like Tukaram, who had done nothing wrong. He had simply composed some abhangs in honor of God. And you know you harassed him. That is why you are suffering. You may go to 100 rivers and take a bath, but the heat in your body will not dissipate. It will remain as it is. If you want relief, go and surrender to Vitthala and Tukaram. Maybe there will be a solution. This is the solution. So, after that instruction was received, he went to that Rameshwar Bhatt along with his two disciples. They went to the place where, they didn't go to the place immediately. His disciples went and told Tukaram that our guru is suffering like this. So at that time, Tukaram, composed another abhanga, which was filled with karunaras, full of compassion. He composed a poem. And that particular composition, when that was written down by the disciples, and as that composition was read by the disciples, one line after another line, his heat in the body started dissipating. It started becoming less and less and less. And Tukaram's, compassion, helped him to recover from the ordeal which he was facing. So this way, we find the compassion of Tukaram on the person who really troubled him, Rameshwar Bhatt. So, this way, we have, I do not know how much time we have. Time is up, 2:30. So Tukaram Maharaj was a Param Vaishnava, great Vitthal Bhakt, who introduced Vitthal Bhakti in Maharashtra. In fact, all over, wherever you go, he introduced. So Vitthal Bhakti is very, very precious. So he was called a Maha Vaishnava. So question may arise in our mind as to who is a Vaishnava. So I would like to end my presentation by discussing briefly who is a Vaishnava. So it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once asked a question by his disciple whose name was Satyaraj Khan. So Satyaraj Khan, he once met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he admitted, he said, Grasta Vichayami Kimora Sadhane Shrimukhe Ajnakara Prabhu Nivedi Charane. He said that, O Lord Chaitanya, I am a grahastha and I am a Vishayi. Vishayi means one who is fond of material sense enjoyment. I am fond of that. So, I want to progress spiritually. So what should I do? This was the advice that he asked, Satyaraj Khan asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhu kahen Krishna seva, Vaishnava seva, nirantara kara Krishna nama sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya said, chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra continuously. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare. So he said that chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra wherever possible and serve the Lord and serve the Vaishnavas. So Satyaraja Bale, Vaishnava kiniba ke mane, ke Vaishnava kahatar samanya lakshane. He said that Satyaraj Khan said that what are the symptoms of a Vaishnava? You said that you serve the Vaishnava, but who is a Vaishnava? How do you recognize him? At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives him a reply. Prabhu kahe yaar mukhe shuni ek bar Krishna nama sehi pujya shreshta sabhakar ek Krishna nama kare sarva papakshaya navavidha bhakti purna nama haite haya ata eva yaar mukhe ek Krishna nama sehi ta Vaishnava kari hatahara samman. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that one who chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra even once, you treat him as a Vaishnava. You respect him. Tahakara samman. You respect him as a Vaishnava. This was the advice that was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in our congregation there are many people who come for the first time to the temple and they start chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So you have to respect them as Vaishnavas, not treat them, you know, as a neophyte. Oh, kal aaya hai. Nahin. We don't know who has come, who was he in his past life, or who is he going to be in future. So you have to respect everyone. Then on another occasion, one Kulina Grami again asked the same question. So how to recognize a Vaishnava? So Lord, I cut short. Lord Chaitanya replied, Krishna nama nirantara yahara vadane sei Vaishnava shrestha bhajatahara charane. He says that one who chants the sacred Mahamantra continuously, we must consider him to be the greatest devotee and serve his lotus feet. This is your duty. So, the same question again was asked by the Kulina Grahamis. So, Varshantare puna aiche prashna aika Vaishnave rata ratamya prabhu shikha ila. So, once again the same question was asked by Kulina Graham Vasi. Who? How do we recognize a Vaishnava? At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yahara darshana muke aise Krishna nam tahare jani tumi Vaishnava pradhan. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that one who by merely looking at him, you are inspired to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that person is a Vaishnava. So Srila Prabhupada was one such person by seeing whom, you know, people would start chanting. His activities, you know, would, you know, inspire people. Whatever he did, because he was a Param Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava, he, whatever activities he performed, that would inspire people. That is how, you know, the hippies and the Americans, young boys, youngsters, took to Krishna consciousness. By seeing his, you know, the way he conducted himself, the way he spoke, the way he chanted, the way he danced, all that inspired. So just by seeing him, people would chant. So His Grace Gaurang Prabhu was narrating a pastime of Srila Prabhupada. How, you know, he used to inspire, you know, people. Today he narrated, I do not know, I attended his seminar. I don't remember whether it was today or it was during the seminar. But the pastime was simply this, that once, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, was sitting in an audience and somebody brought, you know, oranges for him to eat. Orange. So he was eating, he was peeling the oranges and eating, you know, the orange. And after he ate the orange, you know, he would eat the orange and there would be a seed left behind. And there was a container, you know, dustbin kept little away from the Vyas Peeth. So he would, Prabhupada would look in that direction and blow out the seed. And the seed would go and fall in that. This happened directly. Hum karte hain to niche idhar kidhar bhi gir sakta hai, lekin it went directly into that dustbin. So simply seeing that, the person who saw that, he was tremendously impressed. This happened not once, twice, thrice. It happened again and again. Just seeing that. So even simple activities, and seeing that, he felt that this person is great. Oh, he is, you know, he knows, you know, laws of mechanics. How, you know, the seed, you know, is going and, you know, directly popping into the bucket. He said, this great personality, he was impressed by that. In short, a pure devotee is one who by his very actions, by his activities, by his smile, by his touch, can inspire people. By humility, he can inspire people. By his kirtan, he can inspire people. Such was our founder Acharya, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has given us many of his disciples. His disciple is His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj is my spiritual master. So he has inspired many such devotees. So we find that a pure devotee of the Lord can inspire anyone at any time. So we should lead a very simple life. To put it in a nutshell, simplicity or arjavam is a quality which we have to imbibe by being in association of devotees who are simple. We cannot, as I said, you cannot buy it across a counter. So be in association of devotees who are simple hearted. Then, you know, chant Hare Krishna, honor Prasad and be happy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So we are grateful to His Grace Prishabhanu Prabhu for bringing out the importance of simplicity in a very simple way by telling simple stories. So loudly, let us express our gratitude by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So there are a few announcements. So first of all, we would like to welcome those devotees who have come for the very first time to see to this Sunday feast program. हम सबसे पहले उन भक्तों का स्वागत करना चाहते हैं जो पहली बार इस रविवार के प्रीति भोजन कार्यक्रम में पधारे हैं. तो हम उनसे अनुरोध करते हैं कि वो कृपा करके अपने स्थान पे खड़े हो जाए ताकि हम उनका अच्छी तरह से स्वागत कर सकें. जो दूसरे डिवोटी जो बाकी डिवोटीज है कृपा करके आप बैठे रहिए. तो हम वी रिक्वेस्ट ऑल दोज डिवोटीज हु हैव कम फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम टू दिस संडे पीस प्रोग्राम प्लीज स्टैंड अप इन यूर प्लेसेस सो दैट वी कैन वेलकम यू प्रॉपरली. So we are very grateful to you for removing your valuable time to come and attend this program. So हम आपके बहुत आभारी हैं कि आपने अपना कीमती समय निकालकर यहाँ इस कार्यक्रम में पधारे हैं. हम आशा करते हैं कि आप इसी तरह हर रविवार को आकर यहाँ अपनी उपस्थिति दिखाकर हमारे जो उत्साह जो है वो बढ़ाते रहेंगे. तो वी आर रियली ग्रेटफुल टू यू. सो वी वेलकम देम बाय लाउडली चैंटिंग थ्री टाइम्स हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल. तो अब कीर्तन होगा. आफ्टर दैट यू आर रिक्वेस्टेड टू मीट आवर